Never use speaking tongues in your private prayer life. It will always edify you. I want you to take your Bible now and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. You see, if you spoke unto men, it would have to be in the language of understanding of those men. Speaketh not unto men when you speak in tongues, but you speak unto God. It is a communication between God, who is spirit, with his spirit in you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. For no man understandeth. The man speaking does not understand what he speaks, else it would not be speaking in tongues. It'd be speaking words of knowledgeable understanding in the language of the individual. Like if he understood German, it'd be in German, English, English. Now watch verse 4. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, builds himself up in the spirit. It is God's spirit feeding his spirit, which is his gift to you, his creation in you. It is feeding his spirit that makes that spirit spiritually big and fat. Now, speaking in tongues, as it edifies you, builds you up. It builds you up if you speak much in tongues, so that when you get to a believer's meeting, you can edify the believers after you get there by your operation of the interpretation of tongues or prophecy. Now, this is where I'm heading today, or in this session now, and I want you to keep it real sharply in mind, because this is really great material and gives you great understanding and helps you to walk in more of the fullness of the greatness of God. You see, no man speaking understands what he's speaking. This is why in private, in my private walk with God, just like a moment before I started teaching you, I spoke in tongues. I didn't have to interpret. I didn't speak out loud even, but I was speaking to the Father, being edified. So, one of the things that has happened that needs to be explained until you really understand it is something that I already gave you in the previous session, but I just feel I want to go over it again with you so that you get the best understanding it's possible to have. You know, in most of the churches, so-called, where they speak in tongues, one person speaks in tongues, then somebody else does the interpreting, they say. Now, that cannot be true if God's Word is God's will and you understand it. Because if this person speaks in tongues, the Word of God requires that in a believer's meeting, he would have to interpret. So, what they teach is this person speaks in tongues, they call it a gift. They say he has the gift of tongues. This fellow over here has the gift of interpretation. So this fellow speaks in tongues, this fellow interprets it. That is not true. Absolutely not true. And I'm going to try to teach it to you to the end that you will just completely understand it all the way through. So, I want you to be very knowledgeable of what I'm going to show you here on the board again, and we're going to take our time until I feel in my heart that I've taught it to the best of my ability and you understand it. Now, when a person speaks in tongues in the church, I'm talking now about the body of believers. In a body of believers, by a believer, and by this I mean one who is fully instructed, knowing from God's Word what to do, it is always a message from God or for God, and it, of course, must be interpreted. If it's from God, it must be interpreted for the people. If it's for God, it must be interpreted for the people. Every message in the church, in a body of believers, when I speak in tongues, I must interpret. And it'll always be from God or for God. It's either be in the first person or the third person. Later on, I'll show you that more so. But right now, what I want to get into is to show you that it's possible. And what they do is one person in a church speaks in tongues, somebody else interprets. That is done by what I call an unbelieving believer. One who is born again, filled with the Spirit, who does speak in tongues, but he has not been taught that it's his job to interpret. Now God, in his foreknowledge, God knows whether I'm going to interpret or not when I speak in tongues. He knows this, right? Let's say he knows I'm not going to speak in tongues. I'm in a believer's meeting, all the saints are here, and he knows I'm not going to interpret. He knows that I'm going to speak in tongues, and somebody else over here says he is going to interpret. God knows this. Therefore, my message will not be a message from God or for God. It will simply be a speaking in tongues with prayer or praise. This person over here that does what he calls, gives the interpretation, just gives his own word of prophecy. He thinks it's the interpretation, but it isn't. It's his own word of prophecy. And I'll show you later that basically there is no difference between speaking in tongues and interpretation in a believer's meeting and the giving of a message in prophecy, except for the purposes behind the usage thereof. In other words, why does a person speak in tongues and interpret then? Or why do you have a message in prophecy? See, this unbelieving believer has no believing to interpret. God knows this aforetime before the man does it, by God's foreknowledge. So it is just a prayer or praise to God. Now what has happened in these churches is what I've told you. Here's one person, he speaks in tongues. Here's another person, and you know, he says he gives the interpretation. No, no, no. This person speaks in tongues, but God knows ahead of time he's not going to interpret. Therefore, it's just like as if he did it in his private life. Even though he's in the body of believers, it's just a prayer or praise to God, communication this way. This man over here who says he gives that interpretation is not giving an interpretation, he's giving his own word of prophecy. Now, if you'll remember this, this will all become very clear to you as I teach more and more of God's word to you on this particular occasion in this session. Because we are specifically now in the manifestation of interpretation of tongues. That's where I'm going. And to begin with, let me set for you the great principle of this manifestation of interpretation of tongues. I'll go back over here to the chart to teach it to you. Here's the great principle. God's Spirit teaches his creation in you, which is now your spirit. And the reason it's your spirit is because it's God's gift, understand? Like if I gave you this pointer, it'd be my gift to you. It's God's gift. And by the way, God's Spirit, capital S, what this really says is God who is Spirit. God's Spirit. God who is Spirit teaches his creation in you, which is now your spirit because he's given it to you as a gift. And your spirit, which is in you, teaches your mind, and then it becomes manifested in the senses realm as you act. That's the whole principle. That's a great one. It's simple, it's beautiful. All the things of God are simple, and they're beautiful, and they're always right on. Now look at it. God is Spirit, right? I'm born again of God's Spirit. I have God in Christ in me. So God, who is Spirit, teaches His creation in me, which is now my spirit. Not my soul, it's my spirit, because it's His gift to me. And this is me. Now, this is all me. See? Right there, all me. This is me, standing here. Now, my spirit, that spirit in me can't teach my toes. I don't operate my body from my toes. I operate my body from my mind, right? Look how beautiful that is. God, who is spirit, teaches His creation in me, and part of me is mind, and it teaches my mind. His spirit that's in me is just like the blood flowing through my whole body, touches every part of me. His spirit is in me, but His spirit teaches my mind, and then I act. I speak in tongues, I interpret. I interpret what He has given to the spirit has given to my mind, and I give it. And I give the first word. There'll always be one word there for interpretation. I give that first word. Now, if I'm waiting for four or five words, you may blow it. If I can't believe God for the first one, it's already there, then why should He give me the second, third, and fourth? All I do in interpretation is speak it forth. That first word will be there. And I speak that first word. And when I speak that first word, the second will be there, then the third and the fourth, and I just give it. Now, that's the great principle here. You see, it's always a message from God or for God to God's people. This interpretation of tongues is a companion manifestation to speaking in tongues. And it is one of the three worship or utterance manifestations. Speaking in tongues is limited without this operation of interpretation. It is limited to your private life. Speaking in tongues in your private life as you walk and talk with God, or speaking in tongues to God in a believer's meeting where you're not going to interpret. Now, the interpretation of tongues, what it is not. Interpretation of tongues is not received by revelation. It's not received by revelation. You speak as you are inspired by God. God's Spirit is in you. His gift is in you. And that inspiration is within you. He doesn't give it to you by revelation. It's already in you. That's why God, who is Spirit, teaches by inspiration His creation in you. Inspiration. And I separate that out to teach you and call it in spirit action. Inspiration is in spirit action. People talk about being inspired. Anytime you hear that, it's always an in spirit action. Now, you don't receive the interpretation of tongues by revelation. You receive it by God's Spirit in you in action. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 again, verse 2. He that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth, however in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, divine secrets. Verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in a tongue pray or believe that he may interpret. You see, interpretation of tongues is not an understanding of what you have spoken in a tongue. Many times I see this in new grads, you know. They have just spoken in tongues and they say, oh, I'd like to know what I said. That's none of your lousy business. Because it's not that at all. It's not an understanding of what you have spoken in a tongue. That's right. Look at verse 14. 13 did I read? No, I read you 14. I guess. No, 13 I read. Verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Doesn't help my head at all. Doesn't smarten me up in the brain cells at all. It only works in my spirit. Therefore, interpretation of tongues is not an understanding of what you have spoken in tongues. You got that clear? It's not a translation either. Maybe I ought to read you verse 27 here. It's a good verse in here. If any man speak in a tongue, let it be by two or three at the most, and that by order, and let each one interpret. See, otherwise, it's just an interpretation. It's not a translation. A translation would be a word-by-word trip. No. For instance, I can speak German, and let's say I spoke in Low German. Ich kann dann auch Plattdeutsch kriegen. That's Low German. Ich kann dann auch Plattdeutsch kriegen. A translation of that is a word by word. And I'll translate it. Again, I'll translate it for you. Ich kann dann auch Plattdeutsch kriegen. I can speak Low German also. Poor translation, but it's literal. But that's it. Now, interpretation of tongues is not a translation. Interpretation is interpretation. Translation is translation. Soup is soup, right? Furthermore, interpretation of tongues is not a knowledge of what you have said, what you've spoken in tongues. That would be sense knowledge. Well, what is it? The interpretation of tongues is to speak forth the interpretation of that which you have just been given in an unknown tongue to you. That's interpretation. It's to speak forth the interpretation in the language of the body of the people present, like here it would be English. If this was in a German country, perhaps it'd be in German, French, France, French, you understand this. It is to speak forth the interpretation of that which has just been given in an unknown tongue by you. Let's go over here to the chart. I've got it defined beautifully for you. The manifestation of interpretation of tongues, what it is. It is giving forth in your language. And your language in this class is English right now. And therefore, the interpretation in this class would be in English. It's giving forth in your language. The essence. That's why it's not a translation. If it was a translation, it'd be word by word. It's an interpretation. Interpretation. And the interpretation is just giving the essence of that which has been spoken by you in tongues. Or a tongue. That is what it is. It is your giving forth. You, by the freedom of your will, I can do all things through Christ, remember? You giving forth. You giving it forth in your language. What? The essence. The word essence means the gist or the sum and the substance. Just the sum and substance, the essence, the gist of that which you have just spoken in a tongue. So, it is the giving forth, as you said. As I said, in your language. Now, it is supernatural. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gift is that which is special. But in that gift is wrapped up this manifestation as well. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But all of these manifestations worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man his own as the man wills. There it is. I can, I will to do it. So it divides to every man as the man wills. But it's all supernatural. Every operation of the manifestation is supernatural. It is inspired utterance. I have spoken much in tongues in my private prayer life during the day. At night I go to a twig fellowship, a believers meeting, and boy, I'm inspired. I not only have spoken much in tongues, I have worked the Word of God and put it in my mind. I've studied it, so I'm inspired. When I get there and I bring a message in tongues and I give the interpretation, that's why it's inspired utterance by in-spirit action. It's what I also call sometimes enthusiastic believing. It's not premeditation, it's interpretation. Got it? You don't premeditate and say, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'm going to speak in tongues tonight at that believers' meeting. And you know, I'm going to give that interpretation. Now, let's see. I better think this all through. No, that's premeditation. That's baloney. This is interpretation of tongues. You're inspired in a believer's meeting. You give the speaking in tongues, and immediately you give that interpretation of it. The essence, the gist, the sum and substance of what you do. You don't premeditate it. Another thing, it doesn't come by revelation. God doesn't reveal it to you and say, now, Johnny, get up and speak in tongues. No, it's not premeditation, it's not revelation, it is interpretation of tongues. Bless your heart. You know, you speak the interpretation, and as you speak, it is given to you by in-spirit action, which is by the Holy Spirit, the giver, by way of the power from on high which is in you. God's Spirit, God who is Spirit, teaches His creation in you. He teaches His creation in you. Your spirit teaches your mind as you speak. You see, it is God's will for every person who speaks in a believer's meeting, it is God's will for that person to interpret. 1 Corinthians 14, again. Verse 13. Wherefore, let him who speaketh in a tongue, 14:13, pray or believe that he may what? Interpret. People, once again, look at it. I didn't write the book, but here is God's word, and that settles it. Let him that speaketh in a tongue pray or believe to interpret. It doesn't say, let this person speak in tongues, let that person interpret. No. Can't be. God says this person speaks in tongues. In a believer's meeting, this person has to do what? He must interpret. He has to give that interpretation. You see, God's Spirit teaches by in-spirit inspiration, in-spirit action, His creation in you, which is now your spirit, and your spirit teaches by inspiration your mind and is manifested in the senses realm as you act. You see, God is spirit. When you're born again, you have spirit in you. Before you're born again, your body and soul. You see how this all fits together so perfectly? How it builds? God, who is spirit, teaches that spirit which is in you. And this spirit in you is a part of you. Like your soul is a part of you. Like the body is you. And part of you is mind. Your whole body is controlled by your mind. And therefore, God's Spirit teaches His Spirit in you. His Spirit, which is now your Spirit, teaches your mind. And then you speak out. You give that word of interpretation by in Spirit action in you. The Spirit acts in you, then you give forth, you speak out that word of God. Isn't that beautiful? How this thing really works and how simple it is. You see, God never takes over. God never controls. God never possesses. He has put His Spirit in you. By the freedom of your will, you operate. Now, just what does this do? This interpretation of tongues. Just exactly what does it do? We learn from God's Word that when I speak in tongues, I edify myself. But what happens in a believer's meeting? What does it do? Well, in a believer's meeting, the interpretation edifies the body of believers. You see that? Look, if I speak in tongues in my private life, it edifies me, right? If I'm sitting in a group of believers and I'm speaking in tongues privately, even though I'm in the group, I'm still being edified. But God in His foreknowledge knows I'm going to bring a message in tongues that will be interpreted. That interpretation edifies the body of believers. The word edify means to build up. We talk about a house being an edifice. The bigger the house, the bigger the edifice. It edifies, it builds up. It builds up the body. Anybody speaking in tongues who will give the interpretation doesn't edify himself. That message is from God or for God, and it will edify the body of believers because God knows before time He's going to interpret, right? Sure, it's right. Look at that. Beautiful. Boy, it edifies the body of believers. Let's say you've got seven in that body, then if it's going to edify the body, then all seven have to be what? Edified. Sure. They all will be. And they're edified, not in spirit, because the interpretation is in English here. They wouldn't be edified in spirit because English is an understood language among us. Then you're not edified in spirit, you're edified in your mind. That's why the renewed mind, by exhortation and comfort. Edifies, builds up. The interpretation will always build up. Build up that family. And that's why it's so wonderful that brethren dwell together and live in the greatness of this fellowship. Because they get blessed in the renewed mind by exhortation. To exhort is to encourage toward a more worthy endeavor. It's to exhort people, to build them up toward a more worthy endeavor. To exhort someone biblically is not to tear him down, not to criticize, not to find fault. That stuff is never in the manifestations of the true God. Never. It exhorts, it builds up toward a more worthy endeavor. To comfort is to give real quiet acquiescence to it all the way through. Interpretation of tongues is for giving the gist, I told you. The interpretation of what has been spoken in an unknown tongue. 1 Corinthians 14:13, once again. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray or believe that he may what? Interpret. That's right. It's for the edification of the body of Christ, the church. It's for the edification, the building up. even as prophecy is. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, building up. And this building up, as I said, is always by exhortation or comfort. Exhorting them toward a more worthy endeavor. That's exhortation. For I, the Lord thy God, here, this is like a sample would be, I, the Lord thy God, would say unto you, walk forth boldly upon my word. There's exhortation. Or it will be comfort. You'll always be one of the two, or combination of it. And it will always edify. It'll never tear people down. It'll always edify, either toward a more worthy endeavor or comfort. Comfort is simply a quiet acquiescence, a quiet peace, a quiet serenity. In the essence of something like this, for I, the Lord thy God, am with you. I will uphold you. I will keep you. You see how that would be comfort? Now, every class, every interpretation will edify by one or the other or a combination of those two. It will either exhort toward a more worthy endeavor or give that comfort, that quiet acquiescence, that peace, that serenity. Now, speaking in tongues with interpretation equals the manifestation of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he do what? Interpret. That the church may receive edifying. You see, God would that everybody speaks in tongues, but in the body of believers, he would rather have everybody fully instructed so they could prophesy. If everybody in that body of believers understands tongues and interpretation, then you never have tongues and interpretation. In that body of believers, you have only prophecy. That's what God's will is. For greater is he that prophesieth, because not greater in mouth, but they have a greater knowledge of God's word, than he that speaketh with tongues, except, he what? Interpret. You see, when the interpretation is given, it's in the language of the body of the people present, which here would be English, then the church may be edified, may receive edification, the body may be built up. You see, prophecy given by a man who has the ministry of a prophet will be no different than a word of prophecy given by any other believer when the manifestation of prophecy is there. It will simply be a foretelling by way of exhortation and comfort, declaring God's word, God's will. If there is any F-O-R-E telling, then it has to be the ministry of a prophet in operation, and that it's not by in-spirit action, that it's by revelation. Two entirely different things. Remember, in the Holy Spirit book, I read you this in another session, but boy, you got to go back to that footnote on page 209, where a man operating the ministry of a prophet may foretell, F-O-R-T-H-tell, or F-O-R-E-tell. The foretelling is his operation of the manifestation of prophecy. His foretelling is the operation of the ministry of a prophet. Read that again and master that. I'm going to be touching on this again when I get into the manifestation of prophecy. Right now, I'm just putting together the best I can interpretation of tongues for you. I have to bring in prophecy occasionally because the Word ties them so closely together. In 14, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 28, it says, if there be no interpreter, verse 28, 14, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, let him speak to himself and to God. You see, if somebody speaking in a body of believers is not able to interpret, not willing, he's able, but not willing to interpret, he must keep silent in the body of believers and not speak in tongues out loud. And he prays to himself and to God in the church. In 14, verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues. He that speaketh with tongues is to interpret, except he interpret. You see, having the evidence of speaking in tongues, God puts you under obligation to pray, to believe for the interpretation in a body of believers. Tongues in your private life, yes. But in a believer's meeting, you speak in tongues, then God says, believe to give the interpretation. If you're going to speak out loud in a believer's meeting, that is, if you're going to speak in tongues out loud in a believer's meeting, God says, you've got to give the interpretation. Let's go over here to the chart board, show you something again, and just see what this thing is all about. The manifestation of interpretation of in tongues, how you interpret. God, Spirit, or God who is Spirit, teaches by in spirit action your spirit. Your spirit, by in spirit action within you, teaches your mind. You speak forth the interpretation. That's how it works. That's how it works. You see, God's Spirit teaches His creation in you, and you just speak forth that first word that you have. I'm going to have a chart for you in a moment here I want to go back to, and I want to go to and then show you some of these things again a little deeper. But there are just so many things that are involved here that it's real interesting to be able to put all of this stuff together for you in a session. But it can be done because I'm doing it, bless your heart. And this means the relationship between God and the believer. God energizes. Energeko is the word that's used in the text. God energizes the Spirit in you. This is you. He energizes it. You exercise it. The word, Greek word, is the word exousia. See, this word energeko is transliterated to English in the word energy. Exousia is transliterated into the English word exercise. Remember, I can do. I can do. Remember that, Philippians? All right. God energizes, but you exercise. I can do. You have freedom of will. God's Spirit is in you. You have a mind. You have a body. You, by your mind, by your freedom of your will, you exercise what God energizes. This in-spirit action, this dynamis, is power. It's inherent power. God in Christ in you. You exercise this inherent power. It's inspired utterance. And it, then it's manifested by interpretation or prophet. Oh, people, this is just fantastic. You see, I don't have to go to a believer's meeting and sing Standing on the Promises, Sitting Down. I don't have to sing a lot of songs to get myself all lathered up, all hot and bothered spiritually before I can speak in tongues and interpret. Why? Because it's in spirit action. God in Christ in me all day long. He's never left. So I speak in tongues much in my daily walk with God. Boy, I get in that old believer's meeting. You don't even have to sing a song. You don't have to sing a song. I'm in that believer's meeting, and boy, being with the fellow believers right there, I'm inspired. Inspiration is not something you lather up with a song or dance in the spirit or out of it. It's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in there, man. Don't you see the greatness of it? He's there. And so I speak much in tongues all day long, and boy, I get that believer's meeting. I don't even have to wait if they don't want to. Nobody, everything decent and in order, but man, I could walk into that believer's meeting and open a believer's meeting by speaking in tongues with interpretation. It's inspired. Look, God energizes. God's not asleep. He's in me all the time, right? Eternal life. I have to exercise this power within and produce the manifestation of it. That's the way it works. Well, people say to me, well, they've said it already sometimes, you know. I speak in tongues, but there's no word in my mind. If you're in a believer's meeting and you speak in tongues and you believe that give that interpretation, I want to tell you there will be a word in your mind. You're a liar. It's got to be there because God's word does not lie. Let him who speaketh in a tongue believe to do what? Interpret. Why should God tell you you can't interpret, then you tell me there's not a word there? Either God's wrong or you are. Well, I'll tell you something. You are, not God. God's always right. Let him that speaketh in a tongue believe that he may interpret. Right. I like you, but boy, don't mess around in this field. These are the great things of God. You'll always have one word. Always. I guarantee there'll be one word in English there. The moment you finish speaking in tongues, I guarantee there'll be one word there. If it's an interpretation. But if God knows ahead of time you're not going to interpret, then it will not be a message from God or for God. It will simply be a speaking in tongues, just like as if you were sitting there by yourself. God knows it. God's not stupid. Right. You see, in John chapter 4, I'm not even going to look it up. You look it up. John 4, 24. It says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It literally means worship him truly via the spirit. God is spirit. God is spirit. You can't worship God by bringing him an offering. Baloney. Who'd do the delivery? Man, oh man. God is spirit, class. He can only be worshipped by spirit, and that's by speaking in tongues. The only way you can worship God. Now, in a believer's meeting, we talk about public worship. I want to set this for you. You see, privately, by speaking in tongues in my private life. And you can be in your private life if you're in a whole group of people here. You can still be private because you're not believing to speak in tongues to bring a message in English. Therefore, it'd still be private. It'd be prayer or praise to God this way. In a believer's meeting even. But in public, the requirement by God is in that believer's meeting, if you speak out loud, if you speak out loud, that speaking in tongues must be interpreted. And that speaking in tongues will be a message from God or for God. And that speaking in tongues will be a message from God or for God. And it will edify everybody by way of exhortation or comfort. If it's a message from God, It'll be in the first person. I, the Lord thy God, say unto you, so and so. If it's in the third person, it would be a message for, he, the Lord thy God, is with thee. He will succor thee and strengthen thee. That's the fourth. God. Now, it is giving the gist, the sum and substance of that which has been spoken in a tongue. In your language, in your vocabulary, sort of neat. I heard this interpretation once, and it just sort of, you kids say, blew me away. The interpretation was, after she'd spoken in tongues, for I hollered and I hollered and I hollered, that you might hear me and walk forth on my word. Now you see, you know that that had to be done by somebody down from the hollers, down in Kentucky or West Virginia where they hollered. Because that wouldn't be my giving the gist of it. My gist would have been, for I called you and I've called you. I wouldn't ordinarily use the word holler in my vocabulary, but somebody living down in that territory or section of our country, that's their vernacular language. They holler for the hogs, they holler for the chickens, they holler across the hollers. Well, so her interpretation was so beautiful. I hollered and I hollered and I hollered, God. My vocabulary was that I called and I called you. You see, you give the essence, the gist. Let's say you speak in tongues in a believer's meeting, and it's this long. The interpretation's not going to be that long. Are you kidding, man? Or if you speak in tongues this long, the interpretation's not going to be that long. The interpretation is always the gist, the essence, the sum and substance of what you have just spoken in a tongue. Just what has been spoken in tongues by you, it's the gist, the essence of it. And by the way, when you start speaking in tongues in a believer's meeting, don't show off by showing me you can speak in tongues for 3 minutes. No, no, no. On the other hand, don't show off by proving to me you're believing so small you can only speak 5 words. Be decent and in order. There's always that beautiful line of demarcation between that which is just God's best and good. And you want to do God's best, right? So here you are speaking in tongues, and let's say your message is about that long. Your interpretation generally will be about that long. Not going to be over here. But let me show you somehow God protected that thing. Unbelievable. If you go beyond where it's supposed to stop, you will go into prophecy. And the prophecy will simply reiterate, repeat, restate what you've just said in interpretation. How do you like that one? I tell you, you just can't mess with God. God's got that whole thing all figured out. And when I'm sincerely and honestly walking before Him and I bring a message in tongues and then I give the interpretation, God has so protected it, should I go beyond where I should stop, it'll simply be a word of prophecy, and that word of prophecy will reiterate what I've just said in tongues. You give the gist, the sum and substance, the essence of it, that's all. That's all you give. And it'll always edify by way of exhortation and comfort. Really something? The interpretation must be given immediately afterwards. There'll always be one word in your mind. Give that first word, the second will be there, then the third. And it'll always close out naturally. There'll always be a natural, logical closing. In essence, it'll many times be like this. For I, the Lord thy God, will succor you and strengthen you. I will uphold you. I will keep you. Yea, I will walk by your side all the days of your life. Look at the natural close, life. Or it may be, I will be with you forever. Same essence, same gist, same sum and substance. Or it may be, I will never leave you or forsake you. Same essence, same substance. See it? Generally. Just different words, but the same general essence of it. It's really something. over at the chart over here again. You see, tongues directly to God. My spirit will be edified, direct communication with Him. But speaking in tongues out loud in a believer's meeting must be interpreted. And the interpretation of that speaking in tongues will equal prophecy. Same general essence. Now we're back to reiterate where I began earlier in this session. That when a person speaks in tongues in a believer's meeting, but God knows ahead of time he's not going to interpret, it will still be just a message to God and God back to him, which will edify him. It's not a message for the people, because God knows ahead of time there is to be, he will not interpret. Therefore, it couldn't be a manifestation to bless God's people like interpretation with equal prophecy, because God knows he's not believing. Therefore, it's a message. It's a speaking to God. The man is being edified. But nobody can give the interpretation of what this man spoke, because the interpretation has to be given by the man speaking. So, when you are working this Word of God minutely and accurately, there are some tremendous keys that are so significant. I hope you understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that in what they have referred to, this person spoke in tongues and this man over here gave the interpretation. This man did not give the interpretation, he gave his own word of prophecy. This man over here was simply edifying himself. What a bunch of confusion we've caused by not understanding this. Now there's some tremendous keys to this interpretation of tongues that I want to share with you. Number one, you have to get the first drop before you can get the second. Talking about a faucet. You open a faucet, you got to take the first drop before the second is there. The keys to interpretation of tongues, give that first word. Give that first word. Give it. And if you'll give that first word, the second will be there. And just keep giving until you have the whole thing rounded out. And it'll always, as I said, if you speak in tongues this long, the interpretation generally will be the same length. You're not going to speak in tongues this long and interpret that long. Nor, on the other hand, you're going to speak in tongues this long and interpret that much. Generally, the essence, the gist, the sum, and the substance, even though it isn't a word-by-word translation, it's an interpretation, will have the general format of the length of the speaking in tongues. Number two, the best thing for you to do is to speak in tongues rapidly. In other words, get up, give that speaking in tongues, then rapidly give the interpretation. Don't hesitate. Get it moving, move it, move it, move it, move it. To get it over with. And number three, you don't need to speak in tongues 3 minutes when you interpret the first time. That's right. Learn to get versatile. Utilize those things in your life. Make it meaningful to you. Work it all the way down the line. Because this manifestation in the church, man, will just electrify the body of believers. You're built up at home in your walk, so to speak, during the day, and boy, you get to that twig fellowship at night, and they say, does someone want to speak in tongues? And interpret, please. And you give forth that speaking in tongues, you give that interpretation of it, and it will just electrify the people. The reason I said, do it quickly, so you don't hesitate, so you don't wait a lot. Look at number four. The greatest cargoes in life come in over quiet seas. You can't be nervous about speaking in tongues and interpretation and be right on with it. You don't have to be nervous. First session in the class gets rid of fear in the foundational class. And that's why the greatest cargoes in life come in over quiet seas. speaking in tongues ought to quiet you during the day so that you're all quiet when you get to the believers' meeting at night. So that when you do speak in tongues and interpret, it's real terrific. Number 5, perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 14, 4:18. Just have that love of God. And number 6, tongues with interpretation is complete thought. It will never stop in the middle of a sentence or a thought. It's always a complete thought. It never stops right in the middle of a sentence. Never. It'll always complete the whole thing. It'll just be completely filled out. Now you say, the interpretation of tongues, when will it cease? Well, 1 Corinthians 13:8 and 10, the same truth all over. When Jesus Christ comes again. Until that time, that manifestation is here for God's people, for His people to be blessed. How is it used most beneficially, like all the other manifestations? With the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. In the church, in the body of believers. You know, you never get on a TV station or a radio and bring a message in tongues and then interpret it so the unbeliever can hear it. Oh, baloney. People have come to me and say, let me hear you speak in tongues and interpret. I say, what do you mean? Go to a believers' meeting. You get filled with the Spirit. Do it yourself. You see, what they're after is to trick you and to drive this away from you. So I just don't know how you're going to build this, but boy, you just got to walk with the greatness of the power of God.